Welcome to The Word, a podcast by Antioch students for the Antioch College community. I'm Keaton Higashibaba. There are a lot of things worth knowing, and a lot of those things can't be learned in a classroom. For Antioch students, going on co-op is a chance to learn something new and experience a different way of life. We carry our co-op experiences with us forever, and anyone who has talked with an alum can tell you that the stories only get better with time. This month on The Word, we'll hear three stories from current students about their last co-ops. Our first story comes from Hannah Barrueta, class of 2016. For her first co-op, Hannah went to Tokyo, Japan. There she worked as an au pair or nanny for a French-Japanese family with three small children. It was Hannah's first time in Asia, and even though she was a little nervous, she was excited to try everything she could while she was there. One of the things she tried for the first time was an onsen, or Japanese public bath.
Those are fantastic. The first time I went to a public bath was in Kyoto. I took in 2 days to go to Kyoto. And it was right behind my hostel. And so I went there and I had my little map and I looked such a tourist. And I had my backpack ready to, you know, with my towel and everything. I'm going to go into book bag. I'm really excited. And I go in and it was literally 2 steps. You take 2 steps and you're in. And the women are walking around naked. And so I'm kind of just taking off my clothes and putting them in a locker. And I put my towel around me. And I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Like, okay, I'm just going to go to the toilet. So I go to the toilet, and I had to put on these wooden shoe things to go to this toilet that's just on the ground. It was the worst experience. Apparently, I went to the toilet backwards. I didn't tell my host mom about it, and she said, oh, you're facing the wrong direction. I'm like, shoot. I was really proud of it. And then I enter the bath, and so the first thing you're supposed to do is scrub. And you just do scrub and scrub and scrub, and you have to be really clean. Then I get into the coldest bath, which is hot as... so hot, and I'm just sweating in it. I'm like, oh my gosh, how is this the coldest bath? And everyone's just looking at me like, you're really pathetic. I'm like, I really am not. I had gone to another onsen with my host mom, and that was weird because you don't expect to see your employer naked. So, I mean, and she had a tattoo on her butt, so she had to kind of cover that up.
So, wait, why couldn't she have a tattoo?
Tattoos are about 40 years ago, we were very related to mafia gangs. So if you had a tattoo, it was usually because of that. So the stereotype still has. So usually gyms and places where you can see tattoos don't let you become or go in. So yeah, I have a tattoo on my wrist, so I had to put a Band-Aid on it. I really loved the idea of all these women just embracing all these different types of bodies. If you're fat, if you're skinny, if your boobs are sagging, if your boobs are perky, if you're whatever. It wasn't that what I feel in America, this, oh my gosh, you need to have a perfect body. It was just walk around naked and just embrace yourself.
When you're away from home and the familiarity of campus, trying new things can be a way to open your horizons and adjust. Another way to acclimate is to meet new people and make new friends. This is often easier said than done. Gabe Amrine, class of 2016, did his first co-op at the Rich Earth Institute in Brattleboro, Vermont. It wasn't until nearly a month into his co-op that he met anyone his age to hang out with. When he did meet someone, it didn't quite work out.
I was walking back to where I was staying from, I played music downtown a lot, I busked, and trying to make gas money to come home, because I think I had enough, but I wasn't quite sure. This girl ran out of this house with a guitar playing a song, and she was like, hey, you should come jam with me and my friends. And I was like, yeah, sure, that's awesome, somebody my age. And so it was a great time. I got a phone number from this guy named Connor, and he seemed like a really cool dude, and we were going to hang out again. And so it had been like 2 weeks I hadn't heard from him. Nothing had really, you know, worked out. And I was busking downtown again, and sure enough, Connor shows up with his dog. I think his name was Ludo. Like the character from The Labyrinth. And, God, it was so weird. Okay, so he sat down next to me, and he started begging. And I mean, that's fine. He really needed money, and that was okay. But I was playing music, and I was trying to make money myself. And he started getting like really, really rude. Like if somebody wouldn't give him money, he'd say like, you know, something along the lines of, oh, it looks like you couldn't afford it anyway, or, you know, he started profiling people. It was really kind of awful, and his dog was drooling on my bag, and it was, so I got up after 20 minutes and left, but before I did, I took $3 out of the hat that I had and gave it to him. And he took the $3 and folded it in half and put it in front of his face as if he was going to smell it, and then he just slowly stuffed the money into his mouth, and I watched him chew for like a minute and a half. Just, I couldn't do anything. Like, it was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And I watched him swallow, and he proceeded to talk to me for several minutes afterwards until I just walked away and never saw him again. And that was, yeah, that was my friend, Connor.
Our last story comes from Narges Jumahan, a second year, who did her last co-op in Black Mesa, Arizona. There she worked as a shepherd for two members of the Navajo Nation. Black Mesa is in the mountains, over 3 hours away from the nearest city, Flagstaff. Narges did her co-op from January to March, and while we might think of Arizona as a hot, dry desert, winter in the mountains is cold and snowy. Narges remembers when she first got to Flagstaff and got picked up to go to the reservation. About halfway there, she realized there was no cell phone service. They stopped to eat, and the impact of what she had gotten into hit her.
What was I thinking? You know, I was like, you know, I was acting really tough before all of it. Then as soon as like I hit like the res, I was like, oh my God, how am I going to survive? I haven't like dealt with snow since like for like 11 years. So as we're getting up and up and like in the mountain, I'm just like, I'm not going to make a week.
Narges lived with two Navajo women on the reservation and cared for their flock of sheep. The elder, known as Grandma, spoke Diné, the language of the Navajo people, and almost no English. The other woman in the house was Grandma's daughter, who luckily spoke English and could help with translation.
My first day sheepherding, I got like, oh, I had a day of training, and then the second day was my first day alone. I was like, I probably would survive for an hour, and plus, you know, you have snow and it's cold, and I'm already sneezing, and I already have a sore throat. So, you know, they're like, yeah, you first catch the baby. So at the time when I arrived, there was only like two baby lambs, and like catch them, put them in a corral, and then you take the sheep out. Okay, so I'm like, that's a piece of cake. Of course, like I forgot that little lambs are like little kittens and you can't catch them unless they want to be caught. So I like, you know, was trying to catch them running around, and I had this ram come hit me. And like, I'm thinking that like, you know, sheep are like dogs, they just want attention. So I'm like, oh, I'm petting it, I'm playing with it, and like, you know, it looks friendly, their faces look friendly. I'm like, all right, no big deal. So I'm like, okay, I pet it, and I'm like, okay, I'm socializing with them. They, you know, they get my scent, I get their scent. You know, I think, and this is like how you familiarize yourself with animals and let them know you're like gonna take care of them. No. So I turn my back around trying to catch baby lambs. The ram just like, you know, full speed attacks me from behind, and I fall forward and on the mud. And I was like, okay, that could have turned out bad. So I go back inside. I'm like, how do you get the ram to stop attacking you? And they're like, you hit it. And I'm like, excuse me? He's like, hit the ram. And I'm like, how, where? And they're like, hit it on the side. Don't hit it too hard, but hit it just to show enough power. I was all like, that thing is fluffy. And so they're like, if that doesn't work, hit it on the nose because that's where they're most sensitive. I tried to go do that. I failed. And I was like, this is not working. So then they, you know, the grandma, she put hay out in a separate corral and like, you know, let them out and got them to get distracted with the hay. And we caught the two baby lambs. And I was like, all right, okay, I'm done. There's, you know, nothing to do today. And they're like, no, you take them out. I'm like, I still have to take them out. I was trying so hard to avoid taking out the sheep. The whole day, I'm like, okay, I can do this. I'm like praying. Like, I keep on trying to bless myself so I can make it through. Right, like the day before I was leaving, I ended up staying home for my last day. I didn't go out with the sheep. And there was a sheep that passed away. For the Navajos, you burn like anything dead. So, you know, the grandma told her grandson that was like visiting her to like burn it, and he didn't do it right. And the whole time I was saying, I think she wants it this way. So it got to a point that I was like, I couldn't speak today, and I couldn't like, I couldn't, you know, understand it, but I was understanding enough to like understand grandma at least. And when I was leaving, she gave me a Navajo rug that she had weaved, and I wasn't expecting anything from them or any kind of gift or anything. But I got this rug, and I was like, I don't know what to say. And you know, usually I'm like, oh, thank you, but I was like, I felt like I should thank them, and like I got things more than they got. Like I know I was taking out the sheep, but I was like, I think I learned so much more from them, and like being in that land, that the land taught me so much. But I give their hug, and she was all like, "You're not just, you know, you're not just like a supporter. You're like my daughter, and come back again and learn how to do the weaving, because we want to pass this to you." It was so amazing that, you know, within 3 months of time, it was enough time for them to trust me and let me into their house and to their culture and to their religion and to their history. And I think that was the best thing that happened during co-op, was like just leaving and then being able to, like a week later, to realizing like, oh my God, that happened, and that doesn't happen to everyone.
This has been the Antioch Word, a podcast for the Antioch College community, produced by Antioch students working at WYSO. Seth Kaplan wrote, produced, and performed theme music. My name is Keijin Higashibaba. I am the Miller Fellow at WYSO. Join me next month here at WYSO.org. Thanks for listening.